Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us to be wise in what is right, never to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Day 1 of the Christian Unity Octave. The will of Christ was to found one church. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. How many times have we made this profession of faith in the course of our lives, savoring those characteristic marks, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic? During the Christian Unity Octave, the Church asks us to pray with renewed devotion in company with the Pope, the bishops, Catholics around the world, and all of our separated brethren. Although our separated brethren do not live in the fullness of the faith, they are oriented to it by Christ himself, who desires that all be one. This is Christ's priestly prayer, that all may be one. Unity is a characteristic mark of Christ's church. It forms part of her mystery. Christ founded one church, not several. This is the sole church of Christ, which in the creed we profess to be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic, which our Savior, after his resurrection, entrusted to Peter's pastoral care, commissioning him and the other apostles to extend and rule it, and which he raised up for all ages as the pillar and mainstay of the truth. This church, constituted and organized as a society in the present world, subsists in the Catholic Church, which is governed by the successor of Peter and by the bishops in communion with him. Nevertheless, many elements of sanctification and of truth are found outside its visible confines. Since these are gifts belonging to the Church of Christ, they are forces impelling towards Catholic unity. The church has frequently been compared to Christ's tunic, which was without seam, woven from top to bottom. According to St. Augustine, the church should not be divided because it also is without seam. Our Lord expressed his desire to found one church on a number of occasions. He preached about the one flock and the one true shepherd. He stated that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. He promised to build his church upon Peter. By means of the communion of saints, of which we form part, let us unite in prayer that all may be one, gathered together under one shepherd. Christ's priestly prayer for unity. Christ's deep concern for unity is especially evident in his priestly prayer at the Last Supper. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That all may be one, union with Christ is the cause and the condition of the unity of Christians. This unity is a great help for humanity, since the one church beckons all people to believe in Jesus Christ, the one true Savior. The Church continues Christ's salvific work in the world. In its decree on ecumenism, the Second Vatican Council has taught that the unity of the Church affects her universality and her salvific mission. Unity of faith and customs was the theme of the First Council of Jerusalem at the dawn of Christianity. The letters of St. Paul are replete with his insistence on unity. St. Paul instructed the elders of the Church of Ephesus that their chief responsibility was to preserve unity. He made the same point to his closest collaborators and successors. This concern for unity can be found in the teachings and actions of all the apostles. The fathers of the church sought to defend this unity desired by Christ. They looked upon division in the church as the worst of all evils. In our own times, there are those who advocate a false ecumenism, which holds that all Christian religions are equally valid. They reject the existence of one visible church linked to the apostles and fulfilling the will of Christ. According to the Second Vatican Council, Christ the Lord founded one church and one church only. However, many Christian communions present themselves to men as the true inheritors of Jesus Christ. All indeed profess to be followers of the Lord, but they differ in mind and go their different ways, as if Christ himself were divided. Certainly, such division openly contradicts the will of Christ, scandalizes the world, and damages that most holy cause, the preaching of the gospel to every creature. Because of our love for the church, this scandal should be a motive for prayer and sacrifice. We have to offer up little mortifications in our daily work so as to win God's mercy to build up the unity of his church. We have to put aside any obstacle which separates us from Christ and from our vocation to follow him. We have to lead lives which will bring people closer to Christ, not drive them further away. We ought to look for what we have in common with our separated brethren. Perhaps our differences have traditionally attracted more attention than our similarities. The church knows that she is joined in many ways to the baptized who are honored by the name of Christian, but do not, however, profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successor of Peter. For there are many who hold sacred scripture in honor as a rule of faith and of life, who have a sincere religious zeal, who lovingly believe in God the Father Almighty and in Christ, the Son of God and the Savior, who are sealed in baptism which unites them to Christ, and who indeed recognize and receive other sacraments in their own churches or ecclesiastical communities. Many of them possess the episcopate, celebrate the Holy Eucharist, and cultivate devotion to the Virgin Mother of God. These separated brethren participate in the communion of the saints and benefit from its influence, being inspired by the Holy Spirit to lead exemplary lives. This desire for unity should lead us to pray for everyone and to be models of charity. We should live in such a way that people will remark, "See how they love one another." Unity, a gift from God. Unity is a gift from God. We have to ask for it in our prayer and make this intention an integral part of our ascetic struggle. We'll be able to do only very little in the work of the whole church, which is my daily worry and yours, if we have not reached this close intimacy with the Lord Jesus. If we do not keep his word in us, trying to discover its hidden riches every day, if God's own love for his Christ is not deeply rooted in us. Our love for God should move us to pray in particular for those brothers and sisters of ours who still maintain many ties with the church. Through our efforts to seek sanctity in ordinary work, we will contribute in a most efficacious manner to the cause of Christian unity. Each Catholic ought to have a big heart, big enough to sense how to be of service to other Catholics, to other Christians, and to people with other beliefs. We have to pray for other people so that they may come to live in the fullness of Christ and find happiness therein. With the liturgy of the Mass, we pray, "Pour out on us, O Lord, the spirit of your love, and in your kindness, make those who believe in you one in mind and heart by the power of this sacrifice." Today's reading comes from In Conversation with God, Volume 6, Day 1 of the Christian Unity Octave for January 18th.